Chapter 1. Helmsford, England. April 1878. The carriage hit a rut as it sped down the road. With an unladylike curse, Caroline Lawrence grasped the seat to stop herself from toppling to the floor. She'd obviously hired the worst hackney driver to convey her from the train station to the Essex countryside.
"Whoa!"
the cabby called to the horses. The ill-sprung vehicle slowed and jerked to a stop. Caroline peered out the window. Under the cloudy April sky, a crowd of mostly women stood before a stone barn to listen to Beatrice Walker speak in favour of women's rights. A bolt of excitement shot through Caroline. She lowered the black mourning veil of her widow's weeds. It was the perfect disguise. She couldn't afford to have some gossipmonger inform Father they'd seen her here, when he returned from his diplomatic meeting in Paris. He wouldn't approve of her attendance, nor her intention to write an article about Miss Walker for the London Reformer. Ha! An understatement. Father detested the progressive newspaper. What would he do if he discovered she was C.M. Smith, the paper's most notorious journalist? Father's voice echoed in her head.
A woman's place is at home.
Poppycock. When she saw her articles in the London Reformer, exhilaration coursed through her. Women were not members of Parliament, but her writings gave a voice to those forced to be silent. They gave a voice to women like her mother. While Mama lay close to death, she'd revealed how she'd felt powerless throughout her life, as if she was little more than a pretty ornament. Though Caroline would garner her father's wrath if he discovered she was C.M. Smith, Mama would have been proud and encouraged her. The cabbie flung open the door and flashed a gap-toothed grin. Caroline alighted the vehicle. You'll wait for me, sir.
Indeed, miss.
Clutching her folded umbrella, she lifted the hem of her plain black dress and strode up the dirt drive to the rear of the crowd. Miss Walker, a sturdy woman of tall stature, stepped onto a crate to address the group. The suffragist thrust out her pointy chin and cleared her throat. The chattering in the crowd lowered to a hum. Today, I will speak about the inequalities women must contend with, a short man standing next to Caroline shouted.
'Tis a bunch of rubbish.
Caroline turned to him. Sir, do you mind? I wish to listen, he harrumphed.
To this hogwash.
Go home, you dried-up old spinster.
A beefy man wearing a crumpled brown suit yelled at Miss Walker from where he stood near the front of the crowd.
Go find yourself a husband,
a third man shouted. In all her 20 years, Caroline had never seen an orator treated so shabbily. As if used to this type of abuse, the suffragist continued speaking without blinking an eye. The rude man next to Caroline pulled an egg from his coat pocket and pulled his arm back.
Ah, the audacity of the little weasel!
Caroline lifted her umbrella and cracked it down on the man's head. The egg flew out of his hand, sailed to the right of Beatrice Walker, and struck the fellow wearing the brown suit. Red-faced, the man with the yolk spattered on his coat uttered several obscenities. He removed his soiled garment, tossed it to the ground, and stormed toward the egg-thrower with his fist raised.
"McAllister, that's me best coat. You were supposed to hit her, not me, you bloody sod."
A handful of women chastised the man for his profanity. Then all hell broke loose. A cacophony of raised voices filled the air. Men and women argued. The rude weasel and the beefy fellow rolled on the ground in a cloud of dust, while Beatrice Walker continued speaking in an elevated voice, as if nothing were amiss. A petite grey-haired matron, who looked to be a century old, battered her umbrella at every male in sight. With a surprising yell, she swung it at a rotund man in front of Caroline. The man ducked. The nib of the umbrella caught Caroline's veil, and her hat took flight like a lame bird, tumbling and twirling to the ground. She glanced around. God help her if there was anyone here she knew. Shielding her face with her hand, she crouched and reached for the hat. Someone kicked the rim, and it sailed several yards away. Trap! On her hands and knees, she weaved between the feet of the unruly mob. Her fingers were a mere inch from the hat when her foot landed on the gauzy veil. She peered up.